Don't have enough time to sit down and read all the best Bitcoin articles? Well, let us read them for you. This is a Cryptoconomy Quick Read. All right, crew, welcome back to the show. I actually wanted to do I'm doing a quick read today, and I wanted to do something different for today's episode because I wanted it to flow straight from our discussions on Hans Hermann Hoppe's piece, and I wanted to run right into a piece by Nick Carter that we're going to be doing soon, but it's a little on the long side, and I've only recorded maybe a fourth of it or a fifth of it at this point, and I do not have the time today. I'm really low on time. We got construction coming in, so my recording gap for today is going to be very thin. So I'm going to use one that I recorded just a little while ago, and this one is one that we've talked a lot about CASA on this show, and I kind of talked about. One of the previous times, I was just talking about like the non-custodial key sharing relationship and kind of the huge benefit that you can get from that kind of non-custodial, the multi-sig solution, essentially, and treating every key. And this is something that when Schnorr signatures basically arrive on Bitcoin, it will be such a huge benefit. To exactly this kind of setup by making it a very small on-chain footprint and basically making multi-sig hardly any different in data usage. I mean, there will still be more data usage than the other, but it also makes aggregation easier so that the efficiency and savings can eventually be much greater with something like Schnorr and Musig than it can be in its current state. But so we've covered that on the show. But there's a lot of things coming with CASA, and I'm really excited. They've been dangling on the forums about a big update to the CASA node, which I'm excited about. And the performance of my node has actually been getting progressively better and better. I've been really happy with it recently. I literally use it every day. In fact, there's this hilarious thing that a guy from our local meetup showed me that I had stumbled upon sometime in the past, but I had just lost it in the ocean of things around Lightning. But it lets you feed. It lets you pay a little, it's like 15 cent to feed chickens on, it's Polo, what is it, Polo Feed? I gotta find this link. This is hilarious. I'm gonna make these chickens so fat. He says that he, oh man, where is it? Dude, what is it with me? I cannot keep up with these links. Lightning Resources. I'm gonna have to find it. At least I remember the part of the name of it. But it's, you feed chickens on a live webcam. And I think me and him together are gonna make these the fattest chickens on the planet. I gotta wake up in the morning and feed the chickens. But I've been using my Lightning extension and my node far more often recently than I was in the past. The extension responds a lot faster than it did, and I don't even notice the updates anymore because previously I was having to. There was a problem with the RAM, with like a RAM leak or whatever, where it would just kind of get overloaded after about a week and a half of not restarting it. And honestly, that seems to have cleared up. This is I think I'm going on like 2 weeks now, and I've not had to reboot the device at all. And it's running, it seems to be running just as fast as it was 2 weeks ago. So I've been really happy with the progress for something that is essentially still a beta product. And then there is a huge update coming. So lots to talk about. Way too much for our introduction here, but I just wanted to hit those points. We are reading today's blog post from CASA. Well, it was posted 9 days ago. Check that. But it's CASA Keymaster Security, the mobile key overview. And it's basically a breakdown of how their keys are stored on the Keymaster app and how backups are recovered. And it's a really, really clever system that does not expose your keys to any single entity or single point of failure, which is really exciting. And it completely hides the seed phrase, which I think is really important. And I want to talk a lot about this afterward, because obscuring, splitting up the security, splitting up the responsibility, and hiding the weird complex parts of this whole thing, I think, are the secret to really user-friendly experiences. And I think Casa is on their way to finding that happy medium. So without further ado, let's go ahead and jump in to this amazing article. This one was written, or a blog post, by Jameson Lopp, who is the CTO, I believe, at Casa. So without further ado, let's go ahead and jump in. Casa Keymaster Security, Mobile Key Overview. In this post, we review the security architecture of the mobile key on the new Casa Keymaster app, download for iOS or Android, links provided, and how we've carefully designed a better backup solution. Recently, Coinbase announced that they would enable the backing up of private keys for Coinbase wallet users to their personal cloud storage accounts, either Google Drive or iCloud. They stated that the keys would be safe in the cloud because they would be encrypted with the user's password. Naturally, a lot of security-conscious folks were upset by this feature because they know most users are terrible at using unique passwords that are hard to brute force. As such, if these cloud storage providers are compromised, it's likely that a sophisticated attacker would be able to access at least some of the storage. We've seen plenty of instances of cloud storage being compromised in recent years, so this sort of attack is not out of the question. We believe that transparency about security is extremely important, and so we want to explain how Casa utilizes cloud backups. Casa Keymaster is seedless. A fundamental aspect of the Casa Keymaster app is that it is seedless. We believe that requiring the user to secure their own recovery seed phrase is both a poor user experience and a weakness in the security model, because very few users are likely to go to the links necessary to appropriately back up their seed phrases. The Casa Keymaster app for Android and iOS supports several different key security models. The first setup is our flagship Key Shield 3 of 5 multisig, available with the Platinum and Diamond plans, in which the user holds one key on their mobile device, three keys on geographically separated hardware devices, and Casa holds one key for emergency recovery assistance. The second setup is our basic multisig 2 of 3, available with silver and gold plans, in which the user holds one key on their mobile device, one key on a hardware device, and Casa holds one key for emergency recoveries. Within the multisig models, only the mobile device seed is backed up off the device in which it resides. The reason is that there's already sufficient redundancy such that if a different device key is compromised or lost, the other keys can be used to easily perform a key rotation inside the Keymaster app. Also, we expect mobile device keys are more prone to data loss due to them being exposed to a variety of environmental conditions. The last model that we support is a single key setup where the key is on the mobile device. This key model has inherently weaker security and should only be used to store small amounts. If the 3 of 5 multisig model is akin to a strong bank vault storage, then the 2 of 3 multisig is like a basic savings account. Better security than cash, but not at the level of a bank vault, while the single key model is spending cash to carry with you. Seed generation and local storage. When we generate a seed phrase for a mobile device key, we use a Bitcoin library to which we feed entropy from the device itself. On iOS, for example, the security framework helps to feed dev/random with its entropy from several environmental factors. You can find the entropy source code here. Once the seed phrase is generated, we store it locally on the device by leveraging the secure enclave. When storing with the secure enclave, the seed phrase isn't actually stored inside of the secure enclave. Rather, a private key is generated in the secure enclave. We then encrypt the seed phrase with that new key and store it in the device's keychain. In this manner, the seed phrase is protected from being accessed by malware or physical attackers. This also allows us to leverage other security features of the mobile device that protect the keychain, such as your PIN or biometric identification. The process is similar on Android, where we generate a key in the key store. Depending upon the model of the phone, its key store will be backed by a trusted execution environment, secure element, or hardware security module. We then use the securely generated key to encrypt the seed phrase. The resulting ciphertext is saved to private file storage, which has file permissions enforced by the operating system. Secure cloud backup. At the time of seed phrase generation on the mobile client, the client also generates a long random secret key, once again, using entropy available to the device. It sends that secret key to Casa's server over HTTPS to prevent it from being intercepted by a man-in-the-middle attack. Then we securely store it in our database. In order to prevent your secret key from being leaked in the event of a database breach, the secret key is encrypted in our database via a key management service backed by hardware security modules. In the Android app, we encrypt the seed phrase with this random secret key and send that ciphertext to Android's key value backup service. Then we delete the secret key from the mobile device. If an attacker got access to your Google account and grabbed the backup file, they would need the secret key in order to decrypt it. That key is not kept on the mobile device. It is only kept in Casa's database, but additionally encrypted with our own key. If you set up a new device and we notice that the seed phrase doesn't exist in the local safe storage, we look for the encrypted seed in the key value backup storage and then request the secret key from Casa's server to decrypt it. For our iOS app, the process is very similar, but the encrypted backup goes to the iCloud key value store. Note that cloud backup options are tied to your Apple or Google account. Thus, in order for you to be able to recover the seed phrase on another mobile device, the device must be logged into that same account in order to access the encrypted seed phrase data. The security model. Nothing is 100% secure if there is any way to access it. So what is the security model for Casa's mobile key backups? An attacker could take one of the following paths. 1. Compromise your Google or iCloud account to get the encrypted seed. And 2. Compromise your Casa account to request the secret key. Or 1. Compromise your Google iCloud account to get the encrypted seed. 2. Compromise Casa's database to get the encrypted secret key. And 3. Compromise Casa's KMS to decrypt the secret key. What can you do to protect yourself from either of these scenarios? 1. Activate two-factor on your Google or iCloud accounts to make those accounts harder for attackers to compromise. Avoid using SMS two-factor whenever possible. Phone numbers are not safe due to the prevalence of SIM jacking. 2. Use a password manager to generate a strong, unique password for your Casa account. Enabling cloud backups. If you are a Casa Keymaster user and you wish to make your mobile keys more robust against data loss, all you have to do is nothing. At Casa, we believe that users should never have to deal with seed phrases, and thus we do not expose them to the user. Note that if you are in possession of seed phrases from other means of storage, you should never save them in cloud storage services. Also, it is possible but not recommended to use Casa Keymaster Multisig or Single Key without cloud backups of the mobile key. You can do so by disabling cloud backups in the operating system settings of your mobile device. Restoring from backup. To restore your mobile key on a new device, all you have to do is log in to the Casa Keymaster app. The app will automatically notice if mobile keys are missing and will attempt to find a cloud backup. Remember that your phone must be logged into the same Google account, Android, or iCloud account iOS, that you originally used to back up your mobile key. Improve your security today. Start your journey to self-sovereignty and improved security. 1. Sign up for a Keymaster account if you don't already have one. 2. Install the Keymaster iOS or Keymaster Android app. And 3. Start managing your keys. All right. Hope you guys enjoyed that read. And what I wanted to talk about with this one, again, this was on the Casa blog. I think that should be pretty obvious, but just in case. And it was written by Jameson Lopp from the Casa team. And what I find this so interesting about this is that the Casa Keymaster is seedless. And it was funny because when I set up my Keymaster app, when I did the basic multi-sig, the 2 of 3, it didn't even strike me. Like the process was so just kind of step by step. Like it kind of walks you like really easily through it. It was a really simple setup process, and I was also kind of blown away by how frictionless the hardware connecting it to the hardware wallet was. Everything was really straightforward. I never had any questions or felt like I was unsure about what the next step to do was. And it felt like, you know, it was like 1, 2, 3, 4 process, and it resulted in like I just had an email confirmation to click up a link that allows you to pull the public key from the Trezor, which is, you know, the only thing that you can get off the Trezor because the public key is safe. And it never even struck me, like it never even crossed my mind that I had never seen a seed for my mobile wallet when I was setting all this stuff up. And then when this article came out, I read it really quick, and it struck me. I was like, I never really thought about that. That was just completely hidden from me because I'm so used to just writing down another seed phrase from, you know, the next app that I set up. Like, it's just kind of part of my process now. And I have really ridiculous key management and like backups because I have lost such a huge chunk of Bitcoin in the past that wasn't a ton of money then, but is now so painful to think that I just can't get it back, that like I know what it feels like to lose money because of crappy password management. But they're right, like that's a horrible user experience. And an ignorant user, somebody who, you know, doesn't know the technical side of this and already has bad password management, like kind of policies, like their habits are just crap, you know, in the terms of like security in that way, are never going to, like, just because they get into Bitcoin, their habits aren't going to just change. You know, like, you're talking about most people, like, I think that's kind of the point of the market, and the fact that like multi-sig and hopefully one day mu-sig and these kind of scripts, like what they make possible is in not having to architectures that do not rely entirely on the user, but still give the user the control. So if you didn't follow it, I'm going to give just a brief overview of how this model works. I feel like it was pretty explained, like well explained, but again, sometimes this stuff doesn't come off incredibly well in audio. It's a whole lot easier to be reading it, so you can kind of reference the previous sentence when you're trying to make a picture of this in your head. So I'm going to do my best of kind of re-explaining this simply and easily. So the whole process really doesn't seem to be a whole lot different. It seems to be pretty much the same on Android and iPhone as far as I can get from this. So I don't think this needs to be a distinction. We're going to talk about the iPhone perspective, though. So the iPhone generates the seed phrase and uses the standard entropy from the device, which was actually cool. They linked to that. I didn't know that there was that Apple actually posted an open source, like their details exactly of how they create entropy. So the seed phrase is created inside the phone, but then there's also a private key created. And these keys are created in the secure enclave. Both of those are generated in the secure enclave. Now, that word was used a lot And I did not, I thought I knew what it was, and I was right, but it was an assumption. I didn't know it exactly by that name. So what is the Secure Enclave? It's basically, Apple added it to their chips as a means of heightening the security on their phones, and it's basically a hardware chip. Think of it like a tiny little treasure that's actually, you know, soldered into your phone, but essentially it makes a segmented, rather than trying to make a software, a virtualized, you know, piece of security, they actually just put it in the hardware, so it's actually in the chip. And this chip actually handles the storing, the operations, like signatures and everything, of the keys. And the phone, the rest of the hardware for the phone, is only allowed to send it like a limited set of instructions and request data from it. So that chip does not, all they ever get to see is the output from the chip. All the actual signing and the keys are never exposed to anything outside the chip. And this is because even with like the keychain and stuff, you still end up having your passwords or your keys exposed to like the clipboard or whatever for just a couple of seconds. So if the app was compromised or the software that's using this was compromised, then they'd be able to get access to your keys. With the Secure Enclave, that is no longer the case. The device is actually sending a request for the Enclave to do the signing and then produce the result of that signature back to them, and then the signature is used to do the authentication. So this is just a way to solve that attack vector using a hardware solution as opposed to a software one. And this was anything on the Apple A7 chip or later. And I believe I looked it up and I failed to remember. I think it was the iPhone 5S. It's the old version of the iPhone. I'm pretty sure it's the iPhone 5 something. I think it was the S that was the first one to have this. So anything after that, you're solid. Now, the next part, I actually had a hard time deciding if there were actually two separate secret keys created or just one. And I think it's just one. I think the one that they talk about in the earlier paragraph is the same one that they're talking about later on. But essentially, the seed phrase is encrypted. Like the seed phrase is created inside the Enclave. And then there is also a secret key created inside the Enclave. Then this secret key is used to encrypt the seed phrase. So the seed phrase never actually leaves the Enclave unencrypted. So it comes out into your keychain, and then from there, the keychain is backed up, the actual encrypted seed is backed up to your iCloud, to whatever your backup, your Apple account backup stuff is, or your Google account, or whatever it is, you know, same for Android and iPhone. Then the seed is the, not the seed, but the secret key that's used to encrypt that is sent to, on an encrypted tunnel to Casa servers, which is then encrypted in their key management system, which is on their database is protected by hardware, security modules, and then, and that's where they keep the encrypted version, and then their key management system decrypts it. So you got like double encryption in that direction. And then the secret key is just deleted from the mobile device. So after that small segment of time where it is used to encrypt the seed and then is sent to the Casa servers, then it's removed from the device. So it's no longer exposed to anything. So this is a really clever way to get both, to never really expose your seed to anything and actually still have backups. And that no single institution, like no single party, is able to basically see or get your seed. The security model that they explain is that you need to, if somebody gets into your cloud backup, your Google or iCloud backup, they are only seeing, they break that encryption and they have an encrypted version of your seed, which is not, you know, exposed in and of itself. So you can easily just give a bunch of people a copy of your encrypted seed. I don't recommend it, but, you know, it's protected. And so they would also have to break into the Casa database and then through their key management system in order to get to decrypt the decryption seed, the decryption key for the seed that they got out of your cloud backup. So they'd either have to compromise both of those, or they would compromise your Casa account. So if they managed to figure out, broke into both your Apple account to get into your iCloud backup, and then also your Casa account, then they could pretend they were you and request the decryption key from Casa. But it requires there's no single attack vector. There's no single place that can be hacked and expose your seed. But the really neat thing about this, in my opinion, is that the user never has to see the seed phrase. But they're still not, and they're not exposing it to anybody. The seed phrase is never, it's not exposed to any party. It's not exposed to the Google or Apple backup. It's not exposed to Casa, and it's not exposed to the user. It stays encrypted in the only places that it stays, and the keys to get to it stay encrypted in another location. They're never all in the same place. So you're not expecting the user to come up with these awesome key management practices or, like, you know, keep up with their passwords and stuff like some nerd like me who has managed to delete a key to Bitcoin and felt the pain and knows what it's like to be an idiot with passwords and how those consequences. Not everybody should have to learn that lesson that way. But you're still able to, Casa is still able to provide essentially a backup service. You're still protecting your key, even without exposing it. You're protecting it from a crushed phone or, you know, losing your phone or having your phone stolen. It's just a really interesting compromise, like this, like, perfect middle ground between having to keep the key safe from, like, Google or Apple, the service that, you know, you're using with your phone, and then also keeping the key safe from Casa or any other single point of failure for that matter, plus keeping it safe from user illiteracy, like bad password management and, you know, weak backups, that kind of thing. And while still not compromising on the convenience of just being able to log into your account and you have your wallet available, nobody's just got your key and is just feeding it back to you to download on your phone. And it's actually pretty similar in concept to the multi-signature. Like I mentioned, was that Casa is one of the keys in the agreement, and that's why I think, like, stuff like Schnorr is going to be so powerful when you can make these more compact and efficient at doing multi-signature. But that if you lose your phone, you still have your hardware wallet and Casa's key. If you lose your hardware wallet, you still have your phone and Casa's key. And you get this basic setup where the user can make mistakes. The user can have bad habits. But as long as they reach out, there's always a fail-safe. And it's just cool that they're using, it's actually the script, it's the programmability of Bitcoin that is making this business model possible. And they're basically applying the same principle, like a very, very similar concept, to just the encryption and backup of the single mobile seed. And I just think that's a huge step forward. Like, I use the example in the multi-signature that if you lose your phone, you still have your hardware wallet and then the Casa key in order to restore the third key. But as we just went over in extensive detail, is the mobile key's not actually lost when you lose your phone. You have an encrypted backup of it on your Google or iCloud account, and then you have that decryption key, the decryption key for it, on Casa servers. So as long as you can get into your Casa account and your Apple account, and you've just restored right where you left off, and you didn't even have to use the Casa key, which comes with a 0.1%, some stupid low percentage of a fee of whatever is in your wallet to restore it. But in that case, when you lose a phone or switch to a new phone, you still don't even have to do it. You can just pick right up where you left off. As long as you haven't lost your hardware key, then you would have to reach out to them. I really hope to see, I mean, I know there's going to be continuous development on this. Like, I know these guys are so serious about what they do and will continue to improve this as far as it can be improved. And with new stuff coming to Bitcoin like Schnorr and stuff, no doubt somebody's going to come up with something even more clever. But I just thought this was a really great way. And I hope to see this type of method or this type of architecture basically standardized across the industry. Because our old habits, you know, like the common user and computer literacy of the average person just does not mix with the digital bearer asset ecosystem. And at the same time, neither does the custodial model. It creates such a giant honeypot of, I mean, we see it, Mt. Gox, Quadriga. There's too many examples to count, and it's too painful to go through them all. But the custodial model sucks just as bad as relying on the user. So this is just a really clever compromise of splitting these things up between multiple institutions and multiple points of failure, or to remove multiple occasions to remove the single points of failure and allow the user to have this seamless experience that isn't very different from what they're used to, even though the architecture of the underlying system, Bitcoin itself, is so different than what they're used to. So there's another blog post from Casa on privacy, and they're doing this whole hashtag my data my life thing, which I encourage you to check out because their next push and focus seems to be all on privacy, and that's really exciting too. So I'm going to continue to keep a close eye on Casa and everything they're doing, and I just thought this one was a fun one to cover. There goes my gap. Yeah, I'm out. All right, I'm glad I managed to finish this up. Thank you guys so much for listening. Do not forget to check out the Casa blog and check out their Keymaster app. Their basic multisig should be available really soon, last I heard word. And their mobile key, the wallet's just a great wallet. I've loved it. It's become my default wallet now. So don't forget to check them out. Do not forget to follow me on Twitter at The Crypto Economy. I am Guy Swand, or Guy Hodelonaut, I think, right now. And and of course, check out cryptoeconomy.life, where you can find this episode and so literally hundreds more on the website. The Bitcoin holiday calendar, so if you want a digital calendar that alerts you to all the Bitcoin holidays coming up, which, come to think about it, happy Altcoin Genesis Day. So definitely go check out the website if you're curious what that is, if you don't know what Altcoin Genesis Day is. And I have always got more stuff coming. So thank you guys so much. Stick with me, and I will hopefully, depending on my time tomorrow, I may have to skip the episode tomorrow, but I'm going to try to make it. So if I can, I will have one out tomorrow. Don't forget to check back. Thanks so much, guys. And I will catch you next time. This has been the Crypto Economy Podcast. Take it easy, guys.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.